How many saw that movie? That was a great movie, Bruce Almighty. I thought that they did a fantastic job in this movie. That was Jim Carrey and Jennifer Aniston, exploring some of the common beliefs that are held about the role that God plays in this world. Carrey, in this scene here, Jim, our modern theologian philosopher that we're going to lean on today, he's angry about how life is unfolding. And he's blaming God, who in this movie is played by Morgan Freeman, who I think plays a good God. Actually, I don't know. I like to... Anyways. So God, Morgan Freeman, says, oh, you think you could do better here? And he hands the role over to Jim Carrey, who then takes on some of the roles that we believe God has. And anyways, quite comical. There were so many things I would love to explore about God this morning and your thoughts about what he does and a bunch of different things. But specifically this morning, I want to ask one question. And that is, how much or what does God know? Like, how much of the future does God know? Have you thought about that before? I think if I was to ask all of you, most would say, oh yeah, I know how much he knows. Maybe you know what you've been taught. Maybe you have a certain belief in your head as to what God knows. I find most people have an answer, but I don't know that most of us have really thought deeply about this question. And it might sound like a weird question, but let me tell you something. It's a really important question. And I'm going to explain why in a moment. First of all, I want to go back into the story of Exodus. If you've been around for a little while, we've been walking through the book of Exodus, and I want to tell you another story. And it ties in well to this question of what does God know? How much does God know? It's a story about one man, Moses, who was... Hey, by the way, good morning, everyone. I don't know if I said that. Hey, I'm Jeff. I'm glad you're here. I saw some new faces this morning. Hope you just are going to enjoy yourself. Hopefully this will be relatively painless. Okay, we'll get through this. There's coffee at the back. We never lock the doors. All right, so we're all good? All right, let me jump into the story. So the story is about one man, Moses, who was able to single-handedly, listen to this, harness God's power with the moving of his arms. Familiar with this story? Oh, it's a good one. The children of Israel, the Israelites, the Jewish people, they've fled Egypt with Moses and were en route to the promised land that God was leading them to. While they were en route, they get into this particular area known as the Rephidim. And they're ambushed by the warriors of Amalek. Like Somalian pirates, some scholars believe, these Amalekites would wait and until people would come into their territory, and then they would kind of pounce. They would loot, they'd pillage, they'd get everything they could from the people that were invading their territory. So the day comes, Moses sees the Amalekites all of a sudden showing up, and he turns to his right-hand man, Joshua, and says, Joshua, grab some men and get out there and fight. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go up onto that hill and I'm going to stand there with the staff of God in my arm. I got thinking about this. I want you all to know. If Friends Church ever gets attacked on a Sunday morning, I'm employing this. I'm going to look to Vince. I'm going to say, Vince, grab some guys. You guys fight. I'm going to be up on the roof. Okay? I'll have my golf club, my driver in hand. I like the way Moses thinks. He was a sharp tack, you know? I'll be over there, okay? Anyways, what gets recorded next is quite interesting. As the two armies fought, and Moses is standing up on the top of the hill, he raised his arms with the staff. It's like a shepherd's staff that you would see. Big hook on it. He raises the staff. And all of a sudden, he watches the Israelites. It's like the momentum is, they're gaining traction, momentum. They're beating back the Amalekites. He's like, yes, we're going to win. And then he puts down his arm for a second to rest it. All of a sudden, the Amalekites start turning and start beating back the Israelites. He's going, oh no, oh no. He raises his hand. All of a sudden, oh, Israelites gain traction again. They're taking down the Amalekites. Moses puts down his hand. All of a sudden, they're, oh, and all of a, now he's going, it's kind of what's recorded. He begins to realize, hey, there's a connection. When my hands are up, we win. My hands are up, we lose. Win, lose. Win, huh. All of a sudden, he's like, oh, I got to keep my hands up. I got to keep my hands up. Scripture says that he actually got to the point where he's going, oh, I got to keep my hands up. Oh, my hands are getting... He calls over two assistants, and they're holding up his arms. If you've read the story, you know this to be true. They have him sit down, and Aaron and Hur are holding up his arms until sunset, when it says, finally, the Israelites crush the Amalekites and win. Wow. This morning, I'm not interested in talking about whether or not God actually made the Israelites win, like, or what all was exactly going on there. We know that that's the way the authors in the Bible believed it all went down. And that's cool. And that's another conversation. Today, I want to talk about something different. I want to talk about what does God actually know? Now, yes, God is powerful. I believe he's capable of doing anything. But I'm not sure he's illogically powerful. Now, again, this is an argument that scholars have been fighting and philosophers have been fighting for a long time. I've done a lot of reading, and it's interesting how they go back and forth, and just in terms of what God is capable of doing. Yes, he's capable of doing anything, but not illogically, it seems. In other words, could God make something so big that he couldn't lift it, while at the same time lifting anything that he wanted to lift? Like, the contradictory, these are the things that smart people are kind of batting each other, you know, over the head with. Oh yeah, could you do that? Like, could God make something square fit in a round hole? Could he make a cat that's all black, all white at the same time? You know, maybe he could, but it doesn't seem he does that. He plays within certain rules, it seems, we're living by in our world, it seems. So before we just say, quit asking that question, what does God know? God knows everything. God, da, da, da. Hang on. Is it possible for God to know the future? It's not a new question. It's not one that I came up with this last week. This is a biggie in theological circles. Some say yes, some say no. But it's an important question, because if God does know the future, then in this story that I just told you about Moses and the raising of the arms, he would have, if he does know the future, he would have already known that the Israelites won. Right? He would have already known how that thing was going to all play out. Why wouldn't he have just told Moses, sit down, put the hands down. It's okay. You got this one, man. Why wouldn't he have done that? If you look back to a story we told a few weeks ago about Moses and the 10 plagues with Pharaoh, going back and forth with Pharaoh, let my people go. No. All right. Plague. Comes back. Let my people go. No. Plague. 10 times. Finally. All right, pal, this one's going to hurt. All right, fine, take them. If God knew the future, why wouldn't he just save the suffering and just went, let's just jump to number 10? Or was there something that maybe God was trying to teach Moses through that process? I don't know. These are things that have been batted around back and forth. Some scholars who believe that God knows the future believe that God just wanted to reveal something to Moses through the process of all that he went through. How much of the future does God actually know? When you read the book of Exodus and other books in the Bible that I could point out, it seems that the authors believe that God's understanding of the future is limited. They believed that, it seems. In this story, what would have happened if Moses had dropped his hands? We're led to believe that the Israelites wouldn't have won had Moses said, ah. We're led to believe that they wouldn't have won. We're led to believe that Moses' actions actually affected the outcome. Now, depending on what you believe God's ability to know the future is, it will change how you read many stories in the Bible. But it will also impact how you will interpret a lot of the events that will happen in your life, won't it? In the lives of others. For sure, it's going to affect how you interact and connect with God, for sure. And I'm going to show you how exactly. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you heard someone say, or perhaps you said it yourself, everything happens for a reason? Jennifer Aniston said it here in the movie, everything happens for a reason. How does that statement land on you? Have you ever had someone tell you that? Did it feel good? Some people have lost their over that statement when someone tried pulling that out in the midst of a bad time. I'm going, don't use that one on me. Some, it works really well. I'm talking about this belief that somehow all the events that are going to take place in your life, good or bad, are leading somewhere to a better future that God has in mind, or something higher than us has in mind for you. It's like the couple who go out, they're home shopping, house shopping, and find that perfect house they've been looking for so long. They find it, they're going, oh my gosh, this is what we've always wanted. It was perfect in every way. They put in the offer. All of a sudden, it looks like it's all happening. They're like, yes, yes. And there's a glitch in their financing. And all of a sudden, the bank says, no, we can't go through this. And boom, boom, boom. Someone comes in and snaps the deal, puts down the deal, and they get it. And they're like, no, no. And they come home and they get on the phone with mom. And mom says, you know what, honey? Everything happens for a reason. Now, maybe as they kind of talk it through, maybe there is another house out there that's even more perfect, that's even bigger, that has more than that house had, and for cheaper, and in even a better neighborhood. And well, maybe down the road they're going to realize there's some damage to the foundation of that home. They're looking at $50,000. They're going to have to pay out to repair that thing. That thing was a lemon, I'm sure. Maybe there's a reason for this. Maybe God knew better. Maybe in some ways, the thought of that is a little comforting, isn't it? The thought that when something goes a little bit sideways, that maybe someone better, smarter, is actually protecting you, guiding you to something else. The belief that God is in control, that he knows the future, knows what needs to get done, and is going to get it done with or without me knowing or helping, it's a relief, isn't it, a bit? A lot. You can relax. All you got to do is just trust. You can trust him to work it all out. You don't have to fret or stress out. Someone much smarter than you is at work, and you can be assured that things are going to just turn out fine. Every time something good happens, like this verse in James, you can kind of look up to heaven and give him a little wink and say, hey, I know that was you. In the church circles I grew up in, oftentimes when something good did happen, and you'd look to the person and say, well done, I heard about the promotion. Oh, that wasn't me, that was God. Heard that a lot. That was God. God took care of me. That's this belief that God knows. God's lining things up. He's working things out. I grew up with this view. When things got difficult, when things got dark, I got to be honest with you, there were times when it brought me a lot of comfort. I can think of certain chapters in my life when something was happening that didn't make a lot of sense. I remember just looking to God, even on a Sunday morning, looking up going, God, I'm struggling here knowing why some of this is going down, but I'm trusting you. You got it under control. It can bring peace. It can bring comfort in those times. When you hold the belief that God is all-knowing and all-powerful and knows everything from start to finish, these are the logical conclusions that you can draw. But it's important for you to know that with this belief that God knows the future, how it's all going to play out, with that belief and the comfort that it can offer, there are also some unwanted adverse effects that you can experience on your spiritual journey as well. If you've never watched the movie, hopefully you got a kind of a sense from the trailer there as to what was going on. Truman, played by Jim Carrey, our modern theologian for today, he was a baby who grew up in a predetermined world built by a corporation. People in his life all around him were actors and actresses, everyone working toward particular conclusions that the producers had already scripted out. The only one not in on it was Truman. He was the one that didn't know what was going on. Until one day he began to notice certain things, began to piece things together, going, hey, wait a second. Someone else, he began to realize, was at the wheel, controlling the outcomes. No matter how hard he tried, he didn't really have a say or a choice in the matter. Watching him come to the realization that nothing he could do could really alter the bigger picture was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Boy, it's a great show. You got to see this. I remember watching this movie and thinking to myself, this is somewhat similar to many people's view of God and the world and how it all operates. Someone like God is ultimately keeping an eye on everything. They got cameras in every room. They're watching. They're making sure this is playing out just exactly the way it's supposed to turn out. Guiding things to their proper outcomes. This is similar to this view of God, that he knows everything and how it's already played out and scripted out. One of the problems with the belief of, with this belief of seeing things this way comes when extremely tragic things happen. Now follow me on this one. An innocent person, especially a young life, so pure, so undeserving, suffers or dies. Where it seems evil has won out over good. A situation where nothing good seems to have come out of it. Right now, just scanning over different parts of the world where there is untold suffering, genocide in some cases, war-torn, ravaged areas where people just have no life. You start looking at some of these scenarios. It's often when you get faced with that kind of reality, the people with this belief that God has scripted it all out begin to question the person at the wheel. If you believe that God would have known what was going to happen, but chose not to stop it somehow, wouldn't that affect your feelings toward God? I mean, how could a loving God allow bad things to happen to good people? That is a question you'll see everywhere. Another side effect of this belief can be complacency. Believing that someone's got it taken care of can also reduce the amount of stress you feel. And maybe in some ways the responsibility that you feel for doing anything of significance in this world. If it's all scripted out, if ultimately someone else is controlling the outcomes, making it all happen, what important role am I playing? You ever been the weak man on a sports team? And like you're the token player? And you're just along for the ride? And everyone's playing around you and you never really get to touch the ball or the puck? And you go, I sense I could leave right about now, and there would be very little difference here. This is also an unfortunate byproduct of people who hold this belief. Where, and I look back in my life, I felt that at times. I felt like my role even in Christianity and in being a part of this thing was kind of optional. I didn't have to really stress out. Someone had this under control. Ultimately, God is going to come through and make it work out. Don't have to worry about it. Don't stress out. God's in control. Whew. Good. I'm checking out for a while. I want to play. The flip side to this belief that God knows everything, that he's scripted it all out, that he is controlling everything, is that God doesn't necessarily understand or know the future, how it will play out, and that somehow it's more determined by us than by him. Much different than the sense of complacency that you get when you believe that everything has been. This belief can yield an incredible sense of significance, purpose to your life. Almost so much it can be intoxicating at times. I remember the day my dad let me drive his truck for the first time. I was 10. Out on a country road, I don't know what prompted me. He says, "You want to drive?" I went, "What?" He says, "You want to drive?" "Yeah, of course." I was like, "Are you serious? Are you trying to trick me?" "No, come on, drive." He jumped out, walked around. I'm in. I'm going, "Oh my gosh." I said, "What do I?" "Okay." And I'm just like, you know, kind of doing all those things. I remember the power of being able to steer that thing and feel the whole truck moving over. He says, hey, over. We did this back. Just the feeling of this truck bowing to me. Oh, remember that feeling? It's like, wow, when I turn this, look at this. I was like, I can just imagine Moses that day when he's going. Power! I'm in the game. Something I'm doing actually matters. You get what I'm saying? This view that actually we have some kind of determining factor in how this whole thing is playing out, it drastically changes the amount of interest, the amount of energy, focus you have in the game. The thought that what I do this week, next month, over my lifetime, that I am actually in the driver's seat, that I could actually have some kind of impact, that I can determine the impact of my world, the people in my life, all around me. The fact that God might be waiting for me to do something and him reacting to that. Purpose? Significance? Oh. The fact that I'm not some kind of puppet on the string that's just doing stuff and I have no outcome. No. Oh, to think that I can actually change something down the road. Whew. Talk about being in the game. How exciting is that? Meaning and purpose like you've never known with this view. It also helps with the level of injustices and suffering that does take place in the world. I don't know, I think I've told this story before, but it wasn't far from here, actually, just down Elbow Drive, heading south. A number of years ago, close to 19 years ago, one of my youth leaders, she was pregnant, 9 months pregnant, about to have a baby 2 or 3 weeks away. We were at a big church gathering at a church just not far from here. And that night, she was crossing Elbow, got hit by a car. They came up to me in the service. They said, "You need to come." And they started spelling out to me what had happened, and I was just like, "What? Rachel, you what?" I remember ripping down to the hospital, and they had her, and we were right up close, and her husband came up and he was just a mess. We prayed, we did everything we could, but the baby died that night. And then they divorced. I have yet to make sense out of why that would ever happen. But the thought that maybe God isn't sitting there pulling those strings and saying, okay, this is what's going to happen. You are going to endure this kind of suffering. Oh, and it's going to... What if God stands outside of that? This is when my beliefs start to shift toward this place. Seeing God as not being the master architect of every situation, but sitting outside of much of the brokenness and suffering in our world. I think it saved me. There's a period there where I just saw one too many things, and I'm going, wow, this doesn't make sense. I thought, maybe God, you're crying right now too with us. When you see God in that way, you're not sitting there waving your finger at God, but instead acknowledging that perhaps this was more of a human reality of a broken world. It's more about people's selfishness and mistakes. Or about a natural and perfect world than a God who willed it to happen. God isn't being pinned with the blame, just rather someone who is wanting to support us in the mess that he didn't make. But like the other view, there are negative views to, there's negative adverse effects of this belief too. You know, like I mentioned earlier, Bruce Carey, after getting mad at God for things gone wrong in his life, the tables turn, he ends up being given the responsibility of acting on God's behalf, making decisions for God. And he gets to this place where things aren't going well, to say the least, and he's panicking, worried that he's going to screw things up, and he does. He messes things up really good. This is a key problem with the belief that perhaps you and your actions are actually going to determine God's role in this world. The sense of responsibility and urgency. You see it in his eyes? He's kind of panicked. He's like, where are you going? What if we don't know what to do? What if I screw things up? This view places a lot of responsibility on each one of us. Moses sitting there going, if I drop my hands, something bad could happen here. I drive this truck into the ditch. It's on me. I could create a big mess here. With this view, life takes on a different meaning. Yes, exciting, exhilarating. Man, we got responsibility. But wow, I could, what if I miss my cue? What if that situation that I am the one to do something with, botch it? Whew. All of a sudden, the level of responsibility grows, doesn't it? God may be guiding, but he's turned the wheel over to me, for me to make decisions and act on his behalf. With this, I can't just assume someone else has got it taken care of. I see a need. It's hard for me with this view to just go, I'm sure God will take care of that. All of a sudden, if you hold this belief, you wrestle with what you see that's within your influence and your control. It's natural to hold on to this thing. In order to hold this belief, that's a common, that is the byproduct of it. a growing sense of responsibility. And for some, that sense of responsibility can be overwhelming. We talk a lot about making a difference in our world, that we are the hands and feet of God, that we're going to get out there and we're going to make a difference. And I will deal with people every now and then who are saying, are you kidding me? It's up to us to turn this broken world around. Are you kidding? With how broken, with how enormous the needs are all around us, what difference could I make? You can feel it just kind of suffocating the hope out of them. They're going, what could I possibly do? Yeah, this is a side benefit or side effect of this belief. If we ultimately are responsible for the outcomes here, this could be a lot. Question becomes, am I the one who needs to respond to that need and that need? How much am I supposed to do here? There's urgency, there's added stress. With this view, all of a sudden the questions become, man, this could cost me money. This could cost me time. This could cost my energy. How much? Yeah, panic. You're sitting at the end of the ladder like Carrie here going, where are you going? Why don't you just do a magic trick here and make this go away? This view can make a mess of your prayer life as well. Have you ever thought about that? Ever thought about the kind of things that you pray for? Because if you hold this belief, rather than praying that God's going to perform some kind of miracle for someone else, your prayers kind of change, don't they? All of a sudden you're going, God, maybe you want me to do? God, before, with this other belief, God has it all scripted out, I'd just say, God, I'm trusting you. You know the problem. You know what needs to be done. You just go ahead and do it. All I need to do is believe for it. Under this view, all of a sudden, your prayers start asking maybe things like, have you brought this into my world for me to do something? I found my prayers becoming more of a dialogue and a request for guidance than specifically asking God sometimes for anything. God, just show me. Why is this thing bugging me? Why is this in my peripheral? Why did that person come to me? Are you? I asked you this question at the beginning, what does God actually know? And I'm going to be honest with you, wrestling and wrestling and wrestling with this thing. I've read more trying to figure out how to wrap my head around this message than I think any other message, my history. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to honestly conclude it in a black and white way to say, this is how it goes down. Talked with people about this. I definitely lean toward this belief that God hasn't scripted out anything or everything. And that he is relying on us to move first. I lean that way. But there are times when I want to trust that God does know. I want to trust that God does know. I want to look at big problems and say, God, make a way through that. There are times when I want to pick and choose. I want to jump over here and say, I don't believe God knows the future. And then I'm going to dance over here sometimes and look at someone and say, don't worry, everything happens for me. I find myself at times being very hypocritical. And that's why the wrestling is so important. Because when you look at where these beliefs kind of lead you, all of a sudden you begin to see, gosh, there's things I'm saying, things I'm doing that aren't even necessarily what I'm believing. And it's in those moments that often we'll do and say things to people that hurt, that lead them into dark places, even in their own mind, not even about God, but toward Christians. That's why I'm going to invite you to wrestle with this one this week. Think hard about what it is you believe God knows in this world. Talk to someone about that. Explain what you think. You want some reading material? Come and see me. Might be sorry. when I see people waving their finger at God, I go, I think you need to wrestle with this thing. What does God actually know? When I see people walking into walls going, I have no meaning and purpose for my life, I go, I think you need to wrestle with this thing. I think every one of us needs to wrestle this thing. Fight with it. Even come to the place where you're going, man, I've looked on different sides of this, and I'm not sure where I sit, but boy, I tell you, I'm going to be a lot more careful about what I state to other people who are going through difficult times. I told Vince, I hate these messages that I can't kind of come up and say, okay, so this is the answer. All I feel like I was going to do was going to create more questions. And if I've done that, then I've done my job this morning, all right? Because I've got lots of questions on this thing. But part of your spiritual journey, the workout that you need to do centers around what exactly is God's role in your life in this world around you. Let's wrestle this week, can we? Let's pray. God, boy, trying to understand you is tough. Understand your part versus our part. But God, I just pray that you would continue to guide us and lead us, fill us with hope. Show us, God, our role in this world. May we be willing to pick it up. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great week this week, you guys.